Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping. Well, we really want to thank you tonight for this opportunity to be here, and I guess that's the mic that you're going to have. But we want to thank y'all for y'all's faithful support and for y'all's allowing us to be here. And as Pastor Carl said, we're with His Love Ministries. And let me just tell you a few minutes, just a little bit about how kind of God started all of this with me. Years ago, I was a baby Christian, and I didn't know much about the will of God and how to find it or anything else. And you know, I just felt like God wanted me to preach, and He wanted me to teach the Word of God, and I was kind of like Moses. Not that I was great like Moses, no way. But, you know, it was like this. I just kept feeling like I was supposed to preach, and I said, who, me, God? I was the guy that when you got up and did book reports when you were a kid in school, that you were scared to death, and the whole time you were doing it, you were scared to death, and then as soon as you finished, you kind of sighed a sigh of relief, and then all of a sudden you realize that you're going to have to do another one in 6 weeks, And guess what? You got scared all over again like I am right this minute. I'm pretty nervous. So, you know, the bottom line is God laid that mission on my heart. And a friend of mine, he, you know, I got a lot of bad advice from people. And let me tell you something. If God puts something on your heart and you know it's from God, don't let the naysayers stop you from doing what God called you to do. Because if it were because of other people, and the discouragement I got, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And I just thank God that He made it so clear and so evident that I was to do this no matter what some of the other people said. You're not this and you're not that. No, I'm not. But you know what? If God calls you to it, guess what? He's going to give you the ability. And you know, the first time I went to preach, I went to Effingham Prison. And I wasn't scared because I was going to the prison, but I was scared because, you know, I was going to speak. And the whole way there, I was scared, and then I turned on the Bible Broadcasting Network, and I heard the guy say, it's not your ability God wants, but it's your availability. And I needed to hear that, but I was still scared. It seemed like it took about 400 hours to get there. But, you know, I preached, and God spoke, and He just confirmed to me that that was what I was supposed to be doing. And I think I got home in about 5 seconds. At least it felt that way. And I knew, and I haven't looked back ever since then. I just feel like this is what God's called me to do. If you could change that slide. His Love Ministries is an outreach ministry in Savannah. We originally called this a nursing home, jail, and prison ministry, but it's so much more. We go to the orphanages. We've been in homeless shelters. We've been in truck stops. We've been in all kinds of places. As Jesus said in Matthew 25, assuredly, if you've done it unto me, the least of these you've done it unto me, right? And so as we look at the world around us, there's so much going on and so much problems and so many things that are going on. And you know what? When we look around, we realize that people are having lots of problems today. And you know what? We need to be there for them, right? And this is what we've done. Look at James 1:27 for me. Next slide. So God gave me a heart for these people and the kind of people that are out there that are forgotten. Basically, when you look at all the people we minister to, they're all locked up somehow, some way, some shape, form, or fashion, right? Some of them are locked up in wheelchairs or the nursing home they can't get out. Some of them are locked up in bodies that don't work, minds that don't work. Some of them are locked up in drugs and alcohol and depression and all kinds of things. But you know, Jesus said that if you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's what we're trying to do, is set these people free. At least if their bodies are not free, at least we can set them free through Jesus Christ to have the freedom that's in Christ. And so let's look at the next slide. We're a ministry dedicated to reaching out to those that the world has forgotten. And basically, we take Bible studies and church services to most of the places that people cannot get out and go to church or Bible studies. And so what we do is we go to them. We take church to them. You know, I look around and I see what people are doing. These people have been in church all their life, some of them the older folks, and guess what? They don't have church anymore. And unless somebody brings it to them, they're not going to have church. Let's look at the next slide. Our mission really is to equip and edify the body of Christ, to build greater relationships with those in need. You know, think about this. There's people out there that don't know the Lord. We're trying to reach those with the gospel. Those that do know the Lord, guess what we're trying to do? We're trying to continue to grow them. We're trying to continue to keep them in church. And when I first started this, I would see people go out to the nursing homes, and I said, well, let me see if what other people are doing. And they would go in and they would read a scripture. They would read a verse. They would sing a song. They'd read a poem. They'd shake some hands, and then they were gone. And that was it. And I said, these people need more than that. And so we began to do full church services. God brought a lady along that had some large print hymnals, and we started using those. So let's look at, let's move two slides. Just flip to the one with the lap blankets and then bump one more. What we did was, His Love Ministries not only brings church services, but we also do simple things like birthday cards, Christmas cards, things like that. And you'd be amazed at what a simple birthday card would do for somebody. We had a guy one time that we were down at the nursing home at the beach. I don't know if y'all saw the one in the paper that's closed, but that's the one we were at. Hopefully they're going to open up again in October again, and we're going to get to have some more people to minister to. We're ministering across the street at Savannah Beach. But we were over there, and it was after the service, and we walked in there, and I gave the guy a card, and it was a few days late. We go in there a couple of times a month, and it was a couple of days late, and I said, well, he started shaking his head. And I said, man, I'm sorry, the card's late. We can't be here all the time. And he just kept shaking his head, and finally he put his hands up to the side of his head, and he says, man, you're the best. He said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. And he was so excited that he had gotten a birthday card that he said he didn't even know if he was going to be able to sleep that night, if you can imagine. Have you ever gotten that excited over a birthday card? But this guy, we don't know the last time he ever got a birthday card. You know, I think about the nursing home ministry that, as you know, the fastest growing population is the elderly, right? And I'm getting to that stage myself, heading that way. But when we look at the seriousness of this, and I thought about that verse over in John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. And what is the last thing that Jesus does before he dies on the cross? One of the last things he does, he looks at his mother, and he says, Mother, behold your son, and son, behold your mother, right? What was he doing? He was making sure his mother was taken care of, right? And as that verse, James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So that is what we're called to do. We're called to reach these folks. We're called to minister to them. We're called to tell them about the gospel and to help them finish the race well. Some of them have started the race, but you know what? Many of them, they have never heard the truth, and many of them would never go to a church where the truth was preached. But we've seen 96-year-old people get saved, and we've seen Alzheimer's people crying out, say, I got to get right with the Lord. You know, God can do anything, can he? God can save anybody. Let's look at this next slide. I was thinking about some of the folks over at Habersham House, and I go over there weekly, and we go to 12 nursing homes and assisted living facilities. We go to 26 total different places. And one day after I got through preaching over at Habersham House, that's the slide all the way up the top left, and as I finished, one of the ladies says, Pastor, thank you for coming and ministering to us. And she says, you know you're my pastor now. And the other lady from North Carolina says, yeah, and you know you're my pastor too. And as he said in the beginning, a lot of times people get into nursing homes, they get in these places, and guess what's happened? Nobody ever visits again. Nobody from the church ever comes visits them. And the pastors don't even know they're there. So we are trying to reach them, we're trying to minister to them, and we're trying to just be there for them. Let's flip, just bump the next couple of slides, stop, hit one, and then hit the next one. Just leave it there for a second. Just a couple pictures. Move to the next one, and then one more. You can see the large print hymnals in that last one. We also minister in the adult and youth correctional facilities. And, you know, it's hard for some of these people. We were with the Livingstons this afternoon, Sheila and Jim Livingston, and they had a young girl that was with them and stayed for a while, and then she kind of just went her own way. But you know what? There's so many of these people out there in these places like this, and people that get into these difficulties, and a lot of times they slip back in. But every once in a while, I run into somebody, and they recognize me. I walked out to church one day over in Savannah, and I was walking out to the parking lot, and you know, my voice is very distinctive. And the guy says, "Don't I know you?" And I looked, and I said, "You look familiar." And he says, "Yeah, I know you. I know you from over at the jail." And we were walking through the parking lot. It was almost dark, and we couldn't even really hardly see each other. But he finally looks at me, and he says, "Yeah, I remember you." He said, "You were over at the jail, and you were preaching. And you know what?" He said, "I've been out for a couple of years, and I'm doing good. And I haven't been back, and I really want to thank you so much." And he hugged me, and he was so thankful for what, you know, just a little bit I had done. And we look at some of these people. One guy in his 20s told me that he'd been shot 3 times. And he said, "If I hadn't got locked up, I would probably be dead right now." And that's the way it is out there for a lot of these young folks. Let's bump to the next slide, see where we're at here. Those are just some statistics right there now. And one of the young guys, I've got a couple more things to say, and I'll try to finish up. I'm running close to my time. But I got a note from a guy named Reginald one day at the jail after my lesson on John, and he said, let me read this to you. "Pray for me. I'm 26, and the only thing that I've ever done consistently in my life is get locked up. I want God's Holy Spirit to fill me and to help me change. I want to be consistent in a good way. I want to be grateful and content. Please pray these things for me. I am praying as well. Pray that the hate and the bitterness leave me. I'm adding works to my faith, and it is a challenge." Did you hear that? "I am adding works to my faith." He gets it, and it's a challenge. And I said, wow, you know, and I told him I'd pray for him. You know, there's so many people locked up. I don't have all the stats. Move to the next slide for me for a second. There's $39 billion are spent in the United States just for 40 states. I'll just throw that stat out there. I'm not going to throw a lot of it at you. But, you know, every year about 1,800 people get turned loose on the streets again out of jails and prisons. 1,800. And they're not ready for the street. I just wanted to mention, too, my wife's going to talk about Coastal Harbor in a minute, but we minister at the Coastal Harbor Adults, and I don't know if I'm stealing your thunder. Let me leave that for you. But we have ministered to some of the service guys that are over at Parris Island, 2 of them recently that tried to commit suicide. We've had several guys in there with depression and suicidal thoughts that are locked up over at Coastal Harbor. And we minister to just about everybody from every age. We get the youngest they can put in that facility. And, of course, she's going to talk about the kids. But then we have people in their 70s. Might have had people older than that that are in there that are still going through these things. We had an 87-year-old guy he died over there at Coastal State Prison. I was at the youth detention center one day, and the kids were all smart aleck and everything, and I said, "Well, let me tell you something." I said, "It's not going to be so funny if you're like this 87-year-old guy and you die in a place like this. You need to think some of these people started doing what you're doing at your age, and they're still doing it in their 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and they're still doing it, and they're still getting locked up. Now, I think about some of these guys that get moved out of the jails and the prisons with nothing, about 35 bucks in their pocket or nothing, the clothes on their back. And some of these guys in the Bible studies, they look at you and they just got such looks of hopelessness and say, can there really be hope for me? And they look at you and they wonder. One guy one night, I was telling about the downward spiral of sin. And I began to talk about the upward spiral, how you can come back and be like the Lord. And I found a verse the other day. I can't remember where it's at now, but it talked about going back up towards God. And he says, is that possible for me? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely it's possible. You know, Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power unto God, of God unto salvation. It's the power to change people, to transform lives, to make them a new creation, to make a thief an honest man, a drunk quit drinking, a drug addict quit drugs. And it's the power. And you know what? God can use any of us. So if God lays on your heart to do something, then I would say you need to step out and do it. We do a lot with a little bit. And I'm just so thankful that God's given us the opportunity to do it.
Coastal Harbor, there's an adult facility and also a children's facility. And I go over to the children's facility and teach Bible studies there to the girls. The treatment facility is there for children that are ages, the residential, they're age 7 up to their 18th birthday. There's an acute unit that they can be age 4 on up to 18. And it's so sad to see those little tiny children in there. It's a lockdown. It's a level 6 facility, which means it's a lockdown facility. So some of the kids that are there have been in other facilities and have not gotten better, and they got into the lockdown facility. Every door is locked. The kids can't go anywhere without a staff, okay? They are there for many different reasons, some behavioral reasons. Some are going through an emotional crisis. There are some with suicidal thoughts. They're self-harming. They cut. Anger issues and all kinds of just hopelessness, really. Those kids come there and they've never known how to trust somebody, because a lot of the reasons that they are acting out in all these areas is because they've been mistreated themselves. And some of the stories that I hear are just heartbreaking. We go to Coastal Harbor. We're there 5 days a week. We're there on Sunday, and Ronnie does a church service. And then we're there Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for Bible studies. And Ronnie teaches the boys, and I teach the girls. And we've started this new endeavor, I guess you would say, where we are doing manicure and pedicures for the girls' birthdays. Now, when they come to Bible study, it's not mandatory. So only the ones that want to come, come. Now, everybody wants to come and get a manicure and pedicure. So we get to see the ones that would have never come into our Bible study. So we really get to kind of know them. It's amazing how they open up to us. I don't do the manicures and pedicures, but my friend is a licensed cosmetologist, so they allow her to do it. So she does that, and while she's doing that, we're talking to them. I bring my music. We're playing Christian music, and it's amazing how they open up to you. And some of the girls that had not come to Bible study are now coming to Bible study, and I'm starting to see changes in them. And the kids there are separated from their families. They're lonely. They're hurt. And the also the kids there are kids from all over the United States. They're not just local kids. So if we can make an impact on their life, who knows when they go home what ripple might start. One of the nurses at Coastal Harbor asked the kids, several of the kids, what it meant to them that we come in there and do church service and Bible studies with them. And this is some of their answers. One said, "It helps me keep my faith and stay positive. We all need Jesus. Learning about Jesus is making me believe before I didn't. Helps me better understand and to come closer to God." So those are just some of their responses to us going in there. I want to share a couple of stories. Can you change the slide? Several years ago, I went in there to do a Bible study, and as I began the study, one of the girls raised her hand and she said, "Is it okay if I'm in here because I don't believe in God?" And I said, "It definitely is okay that you're in here. That's fine." And so as I started teaching, she kept raising her hand and asking questions. And they were not the questions to try to be throwing me off. They weren't the questions to try to change the subject. They were questions coming from her heart because she was seeking answers. And she came up to me after the Bible study and she said, "I used to believe in God, but I was abused and I could not understand why God would allow that to happen to me. So I stopped believing in him." And so I was able to share with her how God sometimes allows things in our life to draw us close to him, to make her realize her need for him. And so I was able to talk with her, and she kept coming back to Bible study. She would bring her Bible. That's another thing I didn't mention, that we give Bibles to all the kids. And she would bring her Bible, she would read it, and she would ask questions and answer questions, and that child's life was transformed. She was changed. And before she left, she told me that she now believes in God and that she knows that Jesus came and died for her sins. And so that was a big change from saying, "I don't believe in God." Another girl came, she was coming to the Bible studies and the church services, and one night she got saved. She gave her life to Christ, and she was in there for depression and self-harming, and she had cut marks all over. And the reason she had shared with me that the reason that she did that was because she had been raped, and she didn't know how to handle it or deal with it. And so after she got saved, it was probably several months later, she told me that, "I don't have the desire, I don't want to cut anymore because I know that Christ lives in me and I know I'm a new creation." And so that was pretty powerful to see God come in and change their lives like that. Satan has a grip on a lot of these youth today. I would have never seen it, never realized how much until I went into Coastal Harbor. We go in there and share the gospel, and that's all we can do. Share the gospel and pray for these kids. And some of them, we see their lives changing. Some of them, we don't. But we just are planting the seeds, praying for God to just bring somebody behind us to water those seeds and that Satan will not come and snatch them away. Do I have time for one more story? One more quick story. We had one of the girls, one day I went to the Bible study and I was by myself. My helper wasn't with me and there was no staff in the room. And I started the Bible study and this girl came and knocked on the door and wanted to come in. And so she came in, and I tried to hand her a Bible, and she says, "No, I don't want that." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, have a seat." and she just stood there and stared at me. She had this blank look on her face. She had a smile on her face, but it was just this blank smile. I've never seen that expression before. And she wouldn't sit down, and she kept looking at me, and she just would rub her legs like that and just stared at me. And one of the girls knew something was up with her. She got up, tried to take her out of the room. She said, "Come on, Brittany, let's get out of the room." And she said, "No, I have to hit the Bible lady. I have to hit the Bible lady." And she kept saying it. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm the Bible lady." And the door was behind her. So I was kind of stuck. The other girls got up and tried to hold her back, and they could not hold her. And she came after me and just pounded me on my head. The staff finally came in and got her. Well, when they left her, took her out, I was pretty shaken up. The girls were shaken up. But I said a quick prayer. I said, "God, you've got to help me." And so we sat down. I said, "Okay, girls, let's just pray. And let's pray for Brittany." I knew that she was hearing voices. She also practiced witchcraft. And they said that she even practiced it in her room there at Coastal Harbor. And so I knew that, you know, she did that because she was hearing the voices. So we prayed, and I continued with the Bible study. About halfway through with the Bible study, one of the girls started crying. And I said, "Sweetie, are you okay?" And she said, "No." Well, let me pause a minute and tell you the background of this little girl. She told me beforehand that her mother had been a Satan worshiper and that she had followed along with her mother. She said her mom had gotten out of it, but she was kind of on the fence. She didn't really know quite what to believe. So she starts crying, and when I asked her what was wrong, she said, "I want Jesus to save me." And so she bowed down right there in the middle of class and prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. And Satan allowed Brittany to come and beat me up because he was trying to stop that Bible study. But it's just amazing how the change and the effect that we have been able to have on some of these lives. And it's a blessing to be there to see the changes. It's a blessing to just be a part of these kids' lives while they're going through such difficult times. And I want to thank you as a church for supporting us and ask you to please pray for us as we go out and minister to all the different places we minister to, and pray for the people that we minister to, that their hearts will be open and softened to the gospel. Thank you.
Come see us out at the booth at the end. Thank y'all.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you.